This is from the Testament of Benjamin.
Yep.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. We're continuing on our expounding on the light, and we're going to keep it focused specifically on what the light is by his own words, and then what his taught ones said about him, and the purpose, as Brother Jackson was wanting, of this for the benefit of us all. We had covered last week about how the light was our Mashiach. We could have mentioned a lot more that isn't in here, like the Torah being the light, the sum of his word being the truth, and the truth being Torah. And these are all things that he himself said, I am the word, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So these are all interconnected things, and it goes right along with what Kepha says in the Recognitions of Clement, where our Mashiach claimed to be the Torah and the Torah giver. These are also things that we can see throughout the Apostolic Constitutions, where it freely speaks of him being the one giving the Torah and being the Word himself. But this is going to go through specifically what the light is, the light of the sun, and the purpose for our benefit. And this is, I'll read what we're going through as we go, and then at the end, Abba willing, Father willing, it should be clear about what he is and what the purpose of his coming was. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and get into the reading. The first section is from chapter 8 of the Testament of Benjamin, verse 3. It says, for as the sun is not defiled by shining on dung and mire, but rather dries up both and dries away the evil smell, so also the pure mind, though encompassed by the defilements of earth, rather cleanses and is not defiled itself. And this is what our Mashiach embodied. So both through his words and actions, we can see the knowledge of truth here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. He was in the beginning with Elohim. All came to be through him, and without him not even one came to be that came to be. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from Elohim whose name was Yahuchanan, which means Yahuwah has favored. This one came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that they might believe the all through his servant. And that reading is what was in the Hebrew version of the chapter, the first chapter of Yahuchanan, that was revealed from the Vatican archives, and Nehemiah Gordon was going on expose with Michael Rood with them. I don't promote everything about them, but the document itself is rather fantastic. And the Father being called Hakol, or the All, is actually something that's in a variety of places, the Dead Sea Scrolls, Syriac or Ecclesiasticus, and the Recognitions of Clement as well. But he was not that light, but that he might bear witness of that light. He, speaking of our Mashiach, was the true light, which enlightens every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become children of Elohim, to those believing in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the desire of flesh, nor of the desire of man, but of Elohim. And at the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And we saw his esteem as of an only brought forth of a Father, complete in favor and truth. And that was from Yahuchanan, or John 1, verses 1 through 14. And Zechariahu, his father, was filled with the set-apart Ruach and foretold, saying, Baruch be Yahuwah Elohim of Yisrael, for he did look upon and worked redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of deliverance for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his set-apart foretellers from of old, deliverance from our enemies and from the hand of all those hating us, to show compassion toward our fathers, and to remember his set-apart covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to give to us being delivered from the hand of our enemies, to serve him without fear, in set-apartness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called foreteller of the Most High, for you shall go before the face of Yahuwah to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of deliverance to his people by the forgiveness of their sins through the tender compassion of our Elohim, with which the daybreak from on high has looked on upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of shalom. And the child grew and became strong in ruach, or spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of showing himself openly to Yisrael. And that's Luke chapter 1, verse 67 through 80. And see, there was a man in Yerushalayim whose name was Shimon, and this man was righteous and dedicated, looking for the comforting of Yisrael. And the set-apart ruach was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the set-apart ruach that he would not die or see death before he sees Mashiach Yahuwah. And he came in the ruach into the set-apart place, and as the parents brought the child Yahushua to do for him according to the usual practice of the Torah, then he took him up in his arms in Baruch Elohim and said, "Now let your servant go in shalom, Yahuwah, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your deliverance, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light for the revelation of the nations, and the esteem of your people, Yisrael." Luke chapter 2, 25 through 32. And Yahushua, having heard that Yahuchanan had been put in prison, withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fill what was spoken by Yeshayahu the foreteller, saying, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light, and upon those who sat in the land of shadow of death, light rose to them." From that time Yahushua began to proclaim and to say, "Repent, for the reign of the Shamayim, or heavens, has drawn near." It's Matanyahu, or Matthew 4, 12 through 17. This next one is immediately after his encounter with the woman caught in adultery. This was immediately after the encounter with the woman caught in adultery, in which the Pharisees had brought her without her partner and tried to accuse her in front of Yahushua, whom did not accuse her because they were looking to trip him up. And if anyone's familiar with what the instructions are in the original covenant, is you had to have them both present. But moving on, immediately after that encounter, he says, "Therefore Yahushua spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall by no means walk in darkness, but possess the light of life or existence.' The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You bear witness about yourself. Your witness is not true.' Yahushua answered and said to them, 'Even if I witness concerning myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know from where I come or where I go. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone, but I am the Father who sent me. And in your Torah also it has been written that the witness of two men is true. I am one who witnesses concerning myself, and the Father who sent me witnesses concerning me.'" Yahuchanan, John 8, 12 through 18. And passing by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his taught ones asked him, saying, Rabbi, or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Yahushua answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of Elohim might be made manifest in him. It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is Yom, or day. Night is coming when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and applied the clay to the eyes of the blind man. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Shiloh, which means sent. So he went and washed and came seeing. Yahuchanan, John 9, 1 through 7. I'd like to add that Irenaeus points out in that particular part, he uses his spittle and clay to heal him with renewing or making the orb of his sockets, which were gone from his birth or missing from his birth, to show that he was the one who made both the waters and the earth and the eyes and all things beside. He can use the elements that he created to furnish these things. Moving on. It says, after 6 days, Yahushua took Kepha and Yaakov and Yahuchanan his brother and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as the light. And see, Moshe and Eliyahu appeared to them, talking with him. And Kepha answering said to Yahushua, Master, it is good for us to be here. If you desire, let us make here 3 booths, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu. While he was still speaking, see, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And see, a voice came out of the cloud, saying, this is my Ben, or my son, the beloved, in whom I did delight. Hear him. And when the taught ones heard, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. But Yahushua came near and touched them and said, rise and do not be afraid. And having lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Yahushua only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Yahushua commanded them, saying, do not mention this vision to anyone until the Son of Adam is raised from the dead. Matanyahu or Matthew 17, 1 through 9. Yahushua answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Yahuchanan 11, 9, and 10. The crowd answered him, we have heard out of the Torah that Mashiach remains forever. And how do you say, the Son of Adam has to be lifted up? Who is this Son of Adam? Yahushua therefore said to them, yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. And he who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you become sons of light. These words Yahushua spoke, and went off and was hidden from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Yeshayahu the foreteller might be filled, which he spoke. Yahuwah, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Yahuwah been revealed? Because of this they were unable to believe. Because again Yeshayahu said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they should not see with their eyes and comprehend with their heart and turn, and I should heal them. Yeshayahu said this when he saw his esteem and spoke of him. Still, even among the rulers many did believe in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the congregation. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of Elohim. Then Yahushua cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And if anyone hears my words but does not watch over them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to deliver the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day, because I spoke not from myself, but the Father who sent me has given me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. Yahuchanan, John 12, 34 through 50. And I said, who are you, Master? And he said, I am Yahushua, whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you a servant and a witness both of what you saw and of those which I shall reveal to you, delivering you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and the authority of Satan to Elohim, in order for them to receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are set apart by belief in me. And that is from Ma'asah, or Acts, chapter 26, verse 15 through 18. This next section is from the Recognitions of Clement and should help to tie in all these things and clearly explain. Right, so this next section is from the Recognitions of Clement, as I was saying, and it should help tie in all this theme and clearly explain the purpose of his coming for our benefit and edification. So this is Clement speaking. Having detailed to him what purpose I had conceived from the beginning, and how I had been distracted with vain inquiries, and all those things that at first I intimated or hinted to you, my master Yaakov, so that I need not repeat the same things now, I willingly agreed to travel with him, Kepha. For that, I said, is just what I was most eagerly desirous of. But first I should desire the scheme of truth to be expounded to me, that I may know whether the inner being or soul is immortal or immortal, and if immortal, whether it will be brought into judgment for those things that it does here. Further, I desire to know what that righteousness is which is pleasing to Yahuwah. Then further, whether the world was created, and why it was created, and whether it is to be dissolved, and whether it is to be renovated and made better, or whether after this there will be no world at all, and not to mention everything, I should desire to be told what is the case with respect to these and such like things. To this Kepha answered, I will briefly impart to you the knowledge of these things, O Clement, therefore listen. The will and counsel of Yahuwah has for many reasons been concealed from men. First indeed, through bad instruction, immoral associations, evil habits, unprofitable conversation, and unrighteous presumptions. On account of all these, I say first error, then contempt, then infidelity and malice, covetousness also, and vain boasting, and other such like evils, have filled the whole house of this world, like some enormous smoke, and preventing those who dwell in it from seeing its founder aright, and from perceiving what things are pleasing to him. What then is fitting for those who are within, excepting with a cry brought forth from their innermost hearts to invoke his aid, who alone is not shut up in the smoke-filled house, that he would approach and open the door of the house, so that the smoke may be dissipated that is within, and the light of the sun that shines without may be admitted. He, therefore, whose aid is needed for the house filled with the darkness of ignorance and the smoke of vices, is he, we say, who is called the Nevi Emet, or true foreteller, who alone can enlighten the inner beings of men, so that with their eyes they may plainly see the way of safety. For otherwise it is impossible to get the knowledge of ill-breathed and ageless things, unless one learns of that true foreteller. Because, as you yourself stated a little while ago, the belief of things and the opinions of causes are esteemed in proportion to the talents of their advocates. Hence also, one and the same cause is now thought righteous, now unrighteous, and what now seemed true, before long becomes false on the assertion of another. For this reason, the credit of obedience and piety demanded the presence of the true foreteller, that he himself might tell us respecting each particular how the truth stands, and might teach us how we are to believe concerning each, and therefore before all else the credentials of the foreteller himself must be examined with all care. And when you have once ascertained that he is the foreteller, it behooves you thenceforth to believe him in everything, and not further to discuss the particulars that he teaches, but to hold the things that he speaks as certain and set apart, which things, although they seem to be received by belief, yet are believed on the ground of the probation previously instituted. For when, once at the outset, the truth of the foreteller is established on examination, the rest is to be heard and held on the ground of the belief by which it is already established he is a teacher of truth. And as it is certain that all things that pertain to ill-breathed knowledge ought to be held according to the rule of truth, so it is beyond doubt that from none but himself alone can it be known what is true. And that was from the Recognitions of Clement, Book 1. It says, therefore, having this service, even as we received compassion, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the secret ways of shame, not walking in craftiness nor falsifying the word of Elohim, but by the manifestation of the truth, recommending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim. And indeed, if our good news has been veiled, it has been veiled in those who are perishing, in whom the Mighty One of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that the enlightening of the good news of the esteem of Mashiach, who is the likeness of Elohim, does not shine on them. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Mashiach Yahuwah Yahushua, and we ourselves your servants for the sake of Yahushua. For Elohim, who said, let light shine in the darkness, is the one who shone in our hearts for the enlightening of the knowledge of the esteem of Elohim in the face of Yahushua Mashiach. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. And this is the last one. This is also from the Recognitions of Clement, and it is starting on chapter 58, and this is from book 8, I believe, but I have it at the end here. It says, when Akila had thus spoken, I'm going to skip that first part and just get to what Kepha said. I apologize. But Kepha rose up and began to speak to the following effect. To me, it is exceedingly wonderful that things that can be easily found out, men make difficult by hidden thoughts and words, and those especially who think themselves wise, and who, desiring to comprehend the will of Yahuwah, treat Elohim as if he were a man, indeed, as if he were something less than a man, for no one can know the purpose or mind of a man unless he himself reveal his thoughts. And neither can anyone learn a profession unless he be for a long time instructed by a master. How much more must it be that no one can know the mind or the work of the invisible and incomprehensible Elohim unless he himself sends a foreteller to declare his purpose and expound the way of his creation, so far as it is lawful for men to learn it. Hence I think it ridiculous when men judge the power of Elohim in natural ways, and think that this is possible and that impossible to him, or this greater and that less, while they are ignorant of everything. Who being unrighteous, judge the righteous Yahuwah. Unskilled, judge the contriver. Corrupt, judge the incorruptible. Created, judge the creator. Yet I would not have you think that in saying this I take away the power of judging concerning things, but I give counsel, that no one walk through devious places and rush into errors without end. And therefore I advise not only prudent men, but indeed all men who have a desire of knowing what is advantageous to them, that they seek after the foreteller of truth, Yahushua. For it is he alone who knows all things, and he who knows what and how every man is seeking. For he is within the mind of every one of us, but in those who have no desire of the knowledge of Elohim and his righteousness, he is inoperative. But he works in those who seek after that which is profitable to their inner beings, and kindles in them the light of knowledge. So seek him first of all, and if you do not find him, do not expect that you will learn anything from any other. But he is soon found by those who diligently seek him through love of the truth, and whose inner beings are not taken possession of by immorality. For he is present with those who desire him in the innocence of their inner beings, who bear patiently and draw sighs from the bottom of their hearts through love of the truth. But he deserts malevolent minds, because as a foreteller he knows the thoughts of every one. And therefore, let no one think that he can find him by his own wisdom, unless, as we have said, he empty his mind of all immorality and conceive a pure and trustworthy desire to know him. For when anyone has so prepared himself, he himself as a foreteller, seeing a mind prepared for him, of his own accord offers himself to his knowledge. Therefore, if anyone desires to learn all things, he must do so discussing them one by one. For being mortal, he will not be able to comprehend all at once the counsel of Elohim and to scan immensity itself. But if, as we have said, he desires to learn all things, let him seek after the true foreteller. And when he has found him, let him not treat him by questions and disputations and arguments. But if he has given any response or pronounced any judgment, it cannot be doubted that this is certain. And therefore, before all things, let the true foreteller be sought, and his words be laid hold of. In respect to these, this only should be discussed by everyone, that he may satisfy himself if they are truly words of foretelling. That is, if they contain undoubted belief of things to come, if they mark out definite times, if they preserve the order of things, if they do not relate those things that are first, nor as first those things that were done last. If they contain nothing subtle, nothing composed by magic art to deceive, or if they have not transferred to themselves things that were revealed to others and have mixed them with falsehoods. And when all these things have been discussed by right judgment, it is established that they are words of the foreteller. So they ought to be at once believed concerning all things on which they have spoken and answered. For let us consider carefully the work of Yahuwah, for whereas the philosophers have introduced certain subtle and difficult words, so that not even the terms that they use in their discourses can be known and comprehended by all, Yahuwah has shown that those who thought themselves word framers are altogether unskillful as respects the knowledge of the truth. For the knowledge of things that is imparted by the true foreteller Yahushua is simple, and plain and brief, which those men walking through devious places and through the stony difficulties of words are completely ignorant of. Therefore, to modest and simple minds, when they see these things come to pass that have been foretold, it is enough and more than enough that they may receive most certain knowledge from most certain foreknowledge, and for the rest they may be at shalom, having received evident knowledge of the truth. For all other things are treated by opinion, in which there can be nothing firm. For what speech is there that may not be contradicted, and what argument is there that may not be overthrown by another argument? Hence it is that by disputation of this sort men can never come to any end of knowledge and learning, but find the end of their existence sooner than the end of their questions. And therefore, since amongst us these things are uncertain, We must come to the true foreteller. Abba Yahuwah wants him to be loved by all, and accordingly he has been pleased completely to extinguish those opinions that have originated with men, and in regard to which there is nothing like certainty, that he might be the more sought after, and that he whom we have obscured should show him, and that he whom they had obscured should show to men the way of truth. For on this account also Elohim made the world and filled it, whence also he is everywhere near to those who seek him, though he is sought in the most remotest ends of the earth. But if anyone seeks him not in a pure, set-apart, and trustworthy manner, he is indeed within him, because he is everywhere, and is found within the minds of all men. But as we have said before, he is dormant to the unbelieving, and is held to be absent by those by whom his existence is not believed. And then it goes on, but that's not the point. That is the culmination of his intentions for us and the knowledge of the light of truth and his purpose. What we had just read was from the Recognitions of Clement, Book 8. And I thank you all for your time. I'm sorry I went over a little, but you have a wonderful Shabbat.
Thank you, brother.